We shall sing hymn number 180, and Pekka Rusava shall serve. I will be translating Pekka Rusava, minister of a place called Masku, and I will be translating it into English. And we are now singing hymn 180. Grace from God, peace from the peace of King of Peace, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have received many prayers of intercession. I think that God has read these much before. They have been brought before the congregation. Holy God, dear Heavenly Father, you have given us the right mind and to approach you through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and bring our requests and thanks unto you. Service guests here at the service area, as well as on the radio and internet, have asked for prayers of intercession before than ever before during these summer services. Holy Father, you know our requests, even those which we cannot even begin to pray for. Those which have been requested here. We also believe even now that thy blessing hand is all our entire life is in your blessing hands. A few service guests have asked prayers of intercession that a unbelieving endeavorer would receive the grace of repentance and that he himself would endeavor and remain in faith. A young service guest that a brother would be relieved or would be separated from gambling, his gambling addiction, and that his relationship with his family would become dear, close. Mother, in her sickness, a mother that her friends who are seriously ill would find the kingdom of God. A young that he would be able to separate himself from worldly music and from his bad works, and that his fears and his fear that he would lose his parents. A sister that a seriously ill friend would be healed and would receive the grace of repentance and would remain as a friend. A faith-seeking man that himself, his wife, and mother would receive the grace of repentance and would receive a place of work as well as help in a difficult life situation. A sister on behalf of a brother, that he would receive strength and wisdom to function correctly in these temporal difficulties, and that their daughter would return home. A sister on behalf of his brother, that he would be able to leave his alcohol addiction. Mother on behalf of a son, that he would be cured of his drug addiction. A brother that he would be helped in his difficulties in his life. Merciful God, to your Heavenly Father, you have promised to be near us in our families. Give strength unto the fathers and unto the mothers to care for their children and bring them up, and also strength to take forth the gift of life. Hear those prayers whom ask for pray on of over difficult who are asking for a child in their family. Comfort them who do not have the possibility to have their own children. daughter is asking that their relationship between their parents would be improved, that their father would cease his adulterous relationship and would receive the grace of repentance, and that his mother would not be, and her mother would not be embittered. A radio listener, that her relationship with her cousin would become better. Sister, on behalf of her family, that you would help in a difficult situation in life. A mother, that you would give grace unto the family and relatives, so that the man would receive strength to separate himself from his alcohol addiction. A brother asks for prayers on behalf of his spouse, that she would be relieved of her bitterness towards the believers. Sister, in loneliness, feels sister from her loneliness, and that she would conduct herself in a appropriate way. A few service guests, that you would guide a spouse, a believing spouse for them, that would encourage and strengthen their faith. A sister, that her inheritance matters would be resolved. Help those who are under, who are traveling towards the Canaan land. You know our sorrows. You know that our feet stumble. Do not forsake us. Holy God, dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for these festive days where we have been able to turn unto Thee with prayer. Bless the nation towards the home of heaven. Amen. Dear service guests, and dear brothers and sisters in faith, in that prayer that the Heavenly Father would open that word which I shall read from Prophet Isaiah, 40th chapter, verses 9, 10, and 11. And the words are heard in Jesus' name. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem, that bring us good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up and be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Holy Father, sanctify in thy truth us in thy truth, for thy word is the everlasting truth. Amen. This prophet Isaiah lived some 700 years before the birth of Christ. A living prophet who proclaimed the great works of God and his thoughts. And the words of God were words of faith and hope. His proclamation, it is says or thought that only God is great and high. When Isaiah, in his time, King Ahaz, to cease from trusting upon the battle against the king of Assyria, or his calling for help into that battle, which the nation of Israel was having, prophet Isaiah exhorted him to avoid that, and says that if you do not believe, you shall not be strengthened. This sermon of faith, as we heard through the dear brother before us, touched upon the Hebrews chapter 11 and explained it, that chapter is the victors of faith. There comes forth the importance of faith. Not only faith, without faith it is impossible to be acceptable unto God. But our text began with these comforting words, O Zion, that bringest good tidings. When my serving turn came near, I thought that during these days, when I have truly been able to sit and listen to many sermons of the dear and explanations of the brothers, where God has opened his word and also opened my heart to believe, this text of Zion that brings good tidings is even during these days become fulfilled. When we gaze upon this festive nation here, brothers and sisters, when I gaze upon you, that has your heart become warmed. I think that here, when you departed into these services from your everyday life, perhaps you have felt that one does not feel to be in a festive mood, and you have not been able to get into those feelings which towards we are traveling towards, and perhaps even one has become angered during his travels. But the tent in this area has become familiar to us, and perhaps your heart has warmed and said that it is a beautiful matter that I have been able to come and that we have been able to come to these services. But as in these prayers of intercession, that there at the radio and internet, they are listened, these services are listened to, that who have not been able to come to these services. I would wish to comfort you, dear listeners, and to remind you of this, that the Word lives. The Word lives there in your midst through this radio and internet, and the Word is proclaimed through of this Lord Jesus Christ, as the last verse says, as a shepherd he shall lead his flock and shall gather his flock unto his bosom. There afar off, wherever you may be, at before the radio and internet, and that you are listening, this message that comfort ye, it is, the Zion is beautiful with his springs where the mountains are the highest. This word comes to you even today. When we are exhorted to listen to this beautiful tidings of Zion, it says, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that greatest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. We live a such a time where it is necessary, especially necessary, to uplift our voice in Zion. From Zion, of which has also said in this holy book, is a law shall come, and the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. These sermons which we have been able to listen to here, they have contained both of these elements, the elements of law as well as the gospel, that from Zion the law shall come, and the word of the Lord shall come from Jerusalem. And during these services, we have spoken much of repentance and the life which follows that. But above all, but along with repentance, which belongs to it, is the gospel. This gospel, the power of God unto those who believe, is unto salvation. It is a beautiful message. And this is exhorted here through the prophet Zion, and to preach Zion and Jerusalem. The gospel is beautiful, but also the law is beautiful. It is of which Apostle Paul writes, it is that which awakens the conscience of sin from grace unto those who are not partakers of this grace, those who travel in this world. And this we hope and pray, even today and even this occasion, that if here today or there at the radio or at the internet, listening to the internet, if you feel that I am lacking the peace of God, this joy, this joy which is brought by the gospel, now is the acceptable day. Now is the day of salvation. Even now you can believe. Today, yet the store of grace is open. But when we are exhorted to strongly preach, does it not mean this? It is both sides. It is unconditional. When the law approaches your timid conscience, that conscience which has fallen under sin or living under sin, and its purpose is to awaken, as the apostle verifies in Galatians, that law is that which kills or mortifies, which awakens the conscience of sin and begins to ask that what must I do that would receive everlasting life or inherit everlasting life. But after that comes this beautiful message of the gospel. Dear brother and sister, be of good comfort. Your sins are forgiven unto you. When I verified there a moment ago that we live a time where many different thoughts are arising or coming towards the nation of people, it is as if this mountain of change is coming, as if they would wish they would make of this old Sarah mother, they would wish to make her more modern, and would wish to clothe her in a modern way, and we would see her as an acceptable or being in this society, and acceptable to preach and proclaim the word of God. But for the word of God, they wish to proclaim, but they do not wish to hear or proclaim that which has been preached for thousands of years. When God created the world and ended his creation work, he verified and noted, said that it was good. Some could think that, but sin corrupted all this. But God gave Adam and Eve the word of promise, and from there the promised man began to endeavor in faith, looking upon the and believing upon the promised word. From the seed of the woman shall come him who shall crush the head of the serpent, and the serpent shall sting him in the heel. During Nehemiah, when some of the nation returned from the capture of Babylon and the Jerusalem city was destroyed, Nehemiah gathered a group of people and began to build that wall. In the fourth book of Nehemiah relates quite clearly and closely in what kind of conditions they built that wall. Not even then, they were not able to build in peace. It is related that the builders, they had their tool in one hand, trowel in one hand, but in the other hand they had a weapon. And when they built that wall, and they heard from behind the wall, they heard those who thought differently, those who wished to change and to destroy that boundary or wall, for it was a border wall. They would wish to tear it down, and they would want to make Jerusalem a little broader and wider. The same they are trying to do, dear friends, in our time, to break down and tear down this Jerusalem, the city of peace. There and here, we dear travel companions, we live in Jerusalem, in this city of peace. It is from time to time carried different names. And we do not hold fast to these names or trust them. We hold fast to the word of God. This flow, which flows from this world and wishes to make this change. Some have said or used such a word that of our Christianity, that from the kingdom of God, they would wish to make this to be acceptable unto the kings. God does not wish to make it happen this way, as it was in the beginning, and it shall be now and forever. And the certain brother borrowed Hebrews chapter 13, that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and ever forever. The word of God is unchanging. It is the same forever. And unto this, dear, are we content unto this willingly? Do we have our own ways, and can we begin to criticize our beloved Zion? It has been spoken much of this, that the congregation of Christ it is not the same anymore today as it was before. They point to the beginning points of the beginning of Christianity in Finland. I asked them, what has changed? Christ is the head of the congregation, and the head is that whom guides this congregation and its members, and the head is the word, of which we have borrowed here from the Gospel of John, first chapter, that word in the beginning was with God, and God was that word, and continues some later, that word came unto life, unto the flesh, for the Jesus Christ came into flesh and dwelt in our midst, and we gazed upon his brightness as the Son of the only begotten of the Father, which was full of grace and truth. I remember when deceased Arvo Perälä, now who has gone to the rest of the righteous, said once that grace in truth in this order, not changed in that disorder, changed in any way, it's grace and truth. The congregation of God has always been one as an entirety, and that which the word, the head, thinks and wishes to think, that is that which we have received from this word even these days and have been able to hear it. This word lives. Pekka Rusava is not speaking at this moment, even though the Holy Spirit of God, he uses, God does not have a mouth, he uses the servants of the word to bring forth this good message. Exhorts to raise your voice to speak in that way as the Holy Spirit opens his word, its word. And unto this, dear travel companions, with this thought I have come to this place, that speak ye, Lord, thy servant heareth. So also some small Samuel in the temple, hearing the voice of the Lord, and he verified in this way. May this mind be with each servant of God and with each child of God when we approach our brother or a dear one or a neighbor, and even those who are not partakers of this grace, that God would help and open his word. But when then there's another matter which is brought forth, the release of sin, it is said that it comforts people, or as if to it puts people to sleep, as it was during the New Awakening time, when it was preached in this way that a weak gospel or puts people to sleep. What do you think, that when the gospel is preached in Jesus' name and blood, for all sins are forgiven, if this voice of the gospel is ended in Zion, what happens? Then the enemy of God begins to do his sowing and his reaping work. Namely, if this voice of the blood stops to be heard, ceases, if this blood of this word of blood ceases to be heard, I would think in this way, then would be extinguished. Our faith is completely in vain. Paul even verifies, says of this, that in Hebrews it that it is said, without the flowing of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. It was during the Old Covenant in the sacrifices. It had a significant part of a believer's life. So it is even today, here at these services. The gospel has been preached, not only here around this tent, but as it has been verified, that into the tent areas and into the radios and through the internet, throughout the entire world, this word is heard. This beautiful message of the gospel, of where it is exhorted in our text to preach. For it said that fear not, but say unto the city of Judah, behold your God. This matter of fear is a matter which is much spoken of, that in Zion there's much fear. Oh, I wish that there would be much fear. But notice, brothers and sisters, what fear? That fear that I would not offend the heart of the Heavenly Father and His mind, the fear of the Lord. And I would think in this way that each child of God, we feel this. We ask and pray continually that the Heavenly Father protect me as my child, your child. Protect me that I would not fall into sin. Preserve me that I would be preserved on this way to heaven so that it would make it to the end. But that fear which is heard from the behalf of this world, those who wish to have this hotel atmosphere, that they're not afraid, or they are afraid to speak. When the Word of God says that be free, you freely purchased flock, that fear not, in many portions our Savior even says, as even it says through the prophet, wishes to say that fear not. What fear do we have? On behalf of this world, there is fear of this, that this world and its material would not attach to us, but God would protect us from the ways of this world, from its vain thoughts, and would protect us from sin. That God would care for us in this way, that we would make it to the end. But say unto the city of Judah, say unto this congregation, from wherever there are listeners, say unto this congregation, behold your God. That the motto of the service is my God, my Lord and my God, which is in the old translation, where Thomas said twice that, my Lord, my God. Those words, may it go into our hearts, so deep into our hearts, that these words would help us to look at our God, and that we would verify that Lord comes in His mightiness, and His hand shall rule, and behold, His reward is with Him. This reward is not euros, neither dollars, neither was it with the before believers the mark, nor neither is it in America the dollar, or francs, or liras. That reward is much more precious. It is nothing of this time. It is not everything in this world shall disappear, but that unperishable treasure, that everlasting life, which God, in His great love, has given to us through His Son. And this gift is being offered at these services unto those who are on the outside. I have oftentimes marveled at this, that when you're giving something free, the Prophet exhorts that purchase without price and without money, wine and bread. They do not wish to receive it. They do not wish or want to believe their own sins, or firstly to believe this, that I am a sinful person. The world believes that in the nation of God that there are sinful people there. It is true. Here at this service tent and the outside of this tent and at the radio and the internet, there sit sinful people. But some way they are different from this world, for they are pardoned sinners. They have believed their sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. What a precious treasure in a clathen vessel. This treasure of faith, and with faith of the arm of faith, we attach ourselves to these words. In Jesus' name, you have the promise to believe, all sins and travel faults forgiven. Do you, brother and sister, or have you received enough of this belief? Do you have enough of this travel lunch that these services or these other are always the same, that I can't take anymore? But regardless, I bless you, dear brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood. Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins and travel faults are forgiven. Jesus' name and blood. Jesus' name and blood. All sins and travel faults are forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name and blood. All sins and travel faults are forgiven. They have been paid for. In Jesus' name and blood. Jesus' name and blood. All travel faults are forgiven. Jesus' name and blood. Sins and travel faults are forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood. All sins and travel faults are forgiven. Unto peace, joy, and freedom. All sins are forgiven. And when all sins are forgiven, what is left? Grace. From grace we are saved through faith. And this is a gift of God. It is a gift of God, and it is worthwhile to hold fast to this, dear ones. We are royal priesthood, holy nation, a peculiar nation, to reveal that power and strength which has led us from darkness unto this remarkable kingdom. Let us hold fast unto these dear ones. Let us hold fast and lift up our gaze in this way, that this world sees that there is something in that individual that I am longing for. There is something different in that person that I long for. And perhaps someone can come and ask that you're different from this group. Then we have a possibility to say that I am a believer and I have believed my own sins forgiven. I'm still a sinful person, but I am a pardoned sinner. And I wish to believe, and I wish to make it to heaven. And so, in all, it is all so simple. We are simple royalty. We are beggars. We are royal beggars. Let us hold fast, dear ones, unto this. Remain even now unto the grace, care of the God and His Word, as the last verse of as the shepherd, he shall gather his flock. Even today he gathers his flock. And he has gathered them unto this moment. And he shall lead them and care for them as long as there is life. And as long as the word of God lives in this world. Soon shall come that time when the word shall not live in this world. God shall not leave his own, but God shall forsake those who do not receive his word. In this way remain, even now, in the grace care of God's word, dear ones, when coming to this place. I had such thoughts that I ask one, the Savior, I ask only one, that show us one day of travel, which I received today, wherever our path leads open today, and let the will of God be fulfilled today. Beneath these questions and these thoughts, feeling my own sins, that I ask, dear travel friends, that in the midst of many temptations, can I remain to believe my sins forgiven? I wish to believe in this way along with you. It is a beautiful nation of God, amen. In Jesus' name, amen.